All right, let's do this. Tonight, in week three of Boy Meets Girl. Now, last week, we were talking about loser magnets, and then the other week, you know, just all the different kind of stuff. But today, I want to talk to you guys about something kind of interesting because, you know, sometimes we do things that are dumb. Amen? Amen. Okay, let me do it. Sometimes other people do things that are dumb. Amen? You guys are whack. You guys are whack. But here's the thing is, we do things that are dumb sometimes, and we don't even realize we're doing dumb things, you know? It's like that one word that you've always mispronounced, but you didn't know you were mispronouncing it until somebody kind of said, I don't think that word means what you think it means, you know? Or something like that. You know, we do that sometimes, especially when it comes to relationships. Because let's be real. A lot of times, the only way we know how to do relationships is because maybe we've seen what our parents do. And that's cool, but sometimes our parents do dumb things, too. And I know, and I don't need to convince you of that, because I know sometimes, most of you didn't play know that. A lot of times, we get our ideas of the way we're supposed to do relationships from TV, from, oh my God, YouTube, really? From the internet, magazines. I mean, look, for the love of God, Twitter, you know, things that boys do, you know, I mean, really? It's like, that's where we get our dating advice. Just because you get like a nice picture with some nice fonts and type on it, and you say words that sound kind of like romantic, it's like, that's exactly it. No, see, we can't live our life that way. We've got to find something that really, really works, not something that just sounds romantic or like a good idea. No, we need good stuff. We need the real thing, not just junk food. Because otherwise, we do these dumb things over and over and over again. See, today we're talking about five things that we do to hate the people we love. And it happens all the time. If you've ever been in love, if you've ever been in a relationship, you know that sometimes the things that hurt the most happen from the people that we tend to love the most. That's why when our parents say things, that's why when our boyfriends or girlfriends say, that's why it hurts the most. So I don't know about you, but I'm tired of hurting the people I love. And I want to love the people I love, because you think that's kind of, you know, the way it's supposed to work, but it don't always work that way. So we got to, you know, get it to work the right way. Okay, so that's what I'm talking about. So in 1 Thessalonians 4, I want to read this to you, and I'm going to read you 8 verses real quick. We're not going to take long because we've talked about it before. I just want to talk to you. I just want to bring it up. It says, finally, brethren, sistren, that's all of us. It says, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you've received from us how you ought to walk and please God. Okay, he's saying this is the way we're supposed to live, okay? He says, you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God. Okay, no surprises here. This is what God wants. He wants our sanctification, okay, that just means that we would live holy, we'd live right, that we do what God wants us to do, that we should abstain, stop, stay away, run from, do not do, don't pass go, do not collect $200, this is what we should not do, is stay away from sexual immorality. I don't know if I can explain that, do I? Because I will, if I need to. No ringy, no flingy, you know, and everything else that happens with the flingy. Okay, sexual immorality. Okay, I'm going to leave it there for right now. And if you guys keep on looking at me like that, I might go a little more. Okay, it says that each of us should know how to possess our own vessel, our body, in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know do, that no one should take advantage and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is an avenger of such, as we have also forewarned and testified. Okay, see, this is what happens. Is when we don't know how to do relationships God's way, we end up abusing each other. We end up using each other. Those words, what they mean is we go places we should not be going. We trespass into lands that do not belong to us. And if you know anybody from the South, when you trespass on the lands you're not supposed to go, they meet you with a shotgun. And that's exactly what God doesn't want for us. Because when we go places we should not go, we end up in trouble. You know, the CDC tells us, the Center for Disease Control tells us, by the time you guys are 25 years old, about a quarter, one out of every four of this generation, by the time they reach 25, one out of every four will have a sexually transmitted disease. I know, it sucks. But this is what happens when you go places you should not go. we end up reaping the consequences. We get what we do not want. It may feel good for a moment, but in the long run, when we trespass in places God never intended us to go, we end up getting this. I mean, all you have to do is count 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and that's what it is. That's what it'd be. And now, I'm not going to do that because that's kind of like, I don't want to go there, okay? But this is what happens. You see, God tells us what to do and what not to do to protect us. And I'll tell you this. If you listen to God's rules, if you listen to God's guidelines, if you listen to God's protections, then you don't have to worry about the 1 out of 4 statistic because you're guaranteed. You're guaranteed to skip that whole thing. And there's no way that'll be a part of you. Let's go on here. See, it's about this. It's about learning how to love people God's way. You see, a lot of people say, well, I love you and you love me and this is the love. And you can't legislate love and you can't, how can this love be wrong? And I'll tell you, there's a lot of ways love can be wrong. I had a good friend as a teenager who broke up with a girl. And because he loved her so much, he set himself on fire. And I mentioned that 2 weeks ago, but it's true. He loved her so much, he set himself on fire in her front yard late one night. To show how much he loved her. You know, we don't have to talk about the celebrities who go back to the boy that they love, even though he's beat her time and time again. He's shown himself to be an aggressive man. We're going to talk about it. You know what I'm talking about. But she loved. Is this love? Is this the way love is? Does love come like a fist in your face? Does love come? Is love shown through setting yourself on? That's not love. And the problem is we end up doing these things and we say it's love, but it's really hate. It's really a perversion. It's a twisting of love. And sometimes we do these things to ourselves. We do these things to our girlfriends, our boyfriends. I would even say we do these things to our friends and our parents. And we say it's love, but it's because we're defining love our way instead of God's way. And whenever you change the definition of something, it no longer means what it originally meant. So love is not really love. It's something else. It's selfishness. It's anger. It's revenge. It's something else. It's manipulation. And that's what we do to this word called love all the time. See, we've got to find out what God says love is. Because that's really what love is. Look, you can call a dog a cat as much as you want, but that dog will always be a dog. It's not just like a really big cat. It's not the way it works. It's a dog. You can call a relationship love however you want, but if it doesn't match up with God's love, it's not love. It's abuse. It's trespassing. It's selfishness. It's something else. See, we do these things. We do these things all the time. Five ways we hate the people we love is a lot of times this is what we do. We get into a relationship or we have somebody we like, and all of a sudden we begin to put unrealistic expectations on somebody, and that way we hate them. You see, in Jesus kind of paints this picture in a different way. In Luke, the 11th chapter, in Luke 11:46, Jesus is talking about these guys named the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were like the religious leaders of the day. And the Pharisees, you know, they knew all the laws, they knew all the rules, and they made sure everybody else knew them. And Jesus would say this. He said, woe to you lawyers, or the Pharisees. He says, what you do is you load men with burdens that are hard to bear. And you yourselves, you don't touch these burdens with one of your fingers. And what he's saying is you give people all these rules, you give people all these expectations to live up to, and then you don't help them out and you don't even do them yourselves. You see, he's talking about these people with all these religious rules, but we do that all the time in our relationships. Is we expect our boyfriend to be a certain way, and all of a sudden when he doesn't measure up, we get on their case or we hate them or we end up making them feel bad. You know, when she doesn't get in the kitchen and make you a sandwich, all of a sudden it's all over. Adam, this is what happens all of a sudden. You know, we have this idea. This is the way it's supposed to be. My love story is going to be just like this movie. It'll be just like The Notebook. It'll be just like this. And you wouldn't believe it. And then all of a sudden the doves are going to come out and the rain is going to fall and we're going to twirl. And then all of a sudden we're going to be on the ground in the grass. We're going to kiss. Or even on the flip side, for those of you guys who have seen or do watch pornography, pornography, it creates this, let's just be real, it creates this idea of this is what sex is supposed to be like. But it's not. It's a script. It's film cut. Film cut. Film cut. Put in this way to this fairy tale of what sex is like, what women are supposed to look like, what women are supposed to act like. And that's not. That's not. It's an unrealistic expectation. Let's just be real here. And when we feed ourselves these things, whether it be, you know, these fantasy love stories or even as something as different as pornography or just this idea that a person is supposed to be perfect and never make a mistake, all of a sudden we have this unrealistic expectation and we end up hating the people that we're supposed to be loving. And maybe that's not your issue. Maybe that's not your thing. Okay, fine, whatever. But this happens all the time. You see, a lot of times, girls, you know, we have this expectation that you have this expectation if you put out or if it's time to take the relationship to the next level, then maybe he'll love me more. Maybe he'll stay with me. Well, that's an unrealistic expectation. It is. You know, they say, well, why buy the cow if you get the milk for free? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, you know, it's a crude cliche, but look, ladies, you have to have a greater standard for yourself. Gentlemen, we need to have a greater standard for the ladies that we're interested in our life. And we have to have a realistic expectation. Now, back it up. It's like, you know, with these things, it's, you know, with these things, we have to realize that nobody's perfect. And it doesn't mean that you lower your standards. It's not about lowering your standards. It's about keeping a righteous standard. You see, the Pharisees, these men, they had a standard of perfection, and they expected people to be perfect. Well, sure, we all want to be perfect, right? I mean, we all would like to never make a mistake, but that's impossible in a sense. It doesn't give us an excuse to, like, you know, be stupid. But to expect perfection, it would be wrong. Even God within himself, he knows we can't do perfection. That's why Jesus died on the cross, because we can't be perfect. So he said, you do the best you can do. You follow me the closest you can. And when you mess up, I'll cover that. I'll pick up the bill. As long as you're running as close as you can to me, I'll cover the bill. I'll make up for what you can't. See, even God doesn't have unrealistic expectations on us. So why would we do that with each other? Whether it's perfection, whether it's never making mistakes, you know, whether it's the fact that maybe he or she does this thing that bugs us so much all the time. Why does he grind his teeth like that? I just hate it. I mean, it's happened, especially if you've ever been or are going to be in a long-term relationship. The things you used to love, the longer you're with them, become the things that you hate. First, it's like, I love the way he laughs. That when he laughs, oh, it's so cute. I love it. And all of a sudden, it's like, a few months later, why does he have a stupid laugh? Ugh, I hate it. I wish he'd just pull his little teeth out. Yeah, you know, we have to be careful with these things because it's so easy that the things we love, we begin to hate. And we hate people that like that all the time. You even flip it with your parents when your parents make a mistake. Anyway, I'm not going to go there. Let's just stay with relationships. But that's true. Chew on that one for a little bit. Okay. And then another thing is this. This is a big one. You hate the person you're with. You hate the person that you'll be with when you expect them to fulfill you. Anytime you expect a boy or a girl or an experience or an evening or a whatever to make you whole, that's not the way it works. Look, I know it's cute. You know, like those little necklaces where it's like the heart and it's a half and the other the half? I know it's cute, but that's not the way it works. See, if you have half a heart and she has half a heart, then together, that means you have two half hearts. That doesn't make a whole. I know mathematically it doesn't make sense, but well, let me put it this way. Half an orange and half an apple don't make a whole or apple. It just gives you a stomach ache. You know what I'm saying? See, that's look, the hole in our heart, the want in our life is never meant to be fulfilled by a woman or a guy or anything like that. You know, the hole, the desire, the want, the hunger in our life can only be filled by God. See, the only way, look, as long as you're dating somebody, as long as you're chasing somebody, as long as you want somebody, as long as one day you have this desire to have that one true love, you know, and to have true love's kiss and blah, 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 and all that other stuff, you know, if you desire that, then it's going to take you to have a whole heart. As soon as you have a whole heart, then you have a whole heart to give to the one you love. Look, for my birthday, don't give me half a birthday cake. Because I'm going to have some questions for you. You don't eat my cookies. On my birthday, don't eat my cookies. Because those are my cookies. All right? I don't play games when it comes to cookies. Those are my cookies. All right? Look. So why would you expect to be okay? Why would you expect your husband or your wife to be ecstatic? Oh my gosh, half of your heart, I love it. I've been waiting for it. Look, you gave me the good part too. I'm not even going to ask you what the rest of it is. Because this is okay. No, that's weird, man. That's weird. That's not the way it works. God wants to make us whole so we can be wholly given to someone. Anything less than that, you're missing it. You're missing it. And you'll never find it in a guy or a girl. You'll only find it in Jesus Christ. You see, in 1 John 4:9, it says, we love, why? Because he first loved us. We love, why? Because he first loved us. You see, you can love somebody because you know that God loves you. And when you know that God loves you, then you are able to love. Apart from that, you can't love. Because we end up living love by some other way. When you know that Jesus Christ gave his everything for you, that God stepped down from heaven and he stepped up to a cross and was placed in a grave only to overcome the greatest of enemies and ascend to heaven. When you realize that, when you get the depth, when you know who God is and what he's done for you, it changes you and it takes your broken heart, it gives you a whole heart so you can love people the way they were designed. You were meant the way you can wholly love people. But it's not until that moment. Look, I'm not saying you can't be nice and love and have the butterfly. I'm saying this. Love apart from God is all right. Love with God is the best. Me, I don't want all right. Me, I want the best. Maybe you're okay with all right. Cool. Live that way. Me, I don't want all right. I want all this life has to offer, and that's only found in Jesus Christ. You see, the problem is we end up looking for Mr. Right, or we end up looking for Mrs. Right. But you see, we weren't called to chase after people. See, God wants you to become Mrs. Right, not chase Mr. Right. God wants you to become Mr. Right. Instead of get caught up finding that girl with the perfect figure or the cutest, straightest teeth. Or maybe you just want her with that one little snaggle tooth. I don't know, you know. I mean whatever your ideal is. I mean, God doesn't want you to be caught up in the chase. He wants you to be caught up in becoming who you're supposed to be. And the funny thing is, when you're busy working on you, you happen to stumble on the one who's supposed to be with you. I mean, that's the way it works. Sometimes you find that as long as you're chasing God, you'll find soon enough that you're chasing the one you're supposed to be with because you're both going in the same direction. Yeah, that's the way it is. See, and let's be real. Some of us in this place, the last thing in the world you need is another boyfriend. I'm just saying, you still need to pick up the pieces before you start trying to give it away. Some of you gentlemen, single is not a bad word. That's all right. Just let that sink in for a little bit. Just be a man. Don't try to be a man and. And being single is sometimes the best thing you can do for yourself. Not having to chase somebody, try to impress somebody. Because you just got to work on you and who God wants you to be. And as soon as you find out who you're supposed to be, then you don't have to worry about untangling yourself from these relationships that we get caught up in. Because what happens is this, is all of a sudden we put these unrealistic expectations because we don't even know what to expect out of ourselves. And then we get caught on somebody. We expect that somebody to rescue us, to be us, to complete us. And then what happens is we start to go too far too fast and we start to hate people that way because we're going too far too fast. Look, man, look. I don't know when you plan on getting married. The average age getting married in America is like 27 for dudes and 25 for girls. You got some time. You got some time. So what are you rushing, man? Okay, who wants to wait till they're done with college before they get married? Okay, so if you go to college when you're 18, that's another 4 years. That means that you have to, if you are 18, you have 4 years. If you are 14, you have 8 years. Who wants to be in a dating relationship for 8 years? All right. So if you're dating somebody right now, that means sometime in the next 8 years, you plan to break up with them. If your boyfriend is sitting next to you and you didn't raise your hand, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to burst that bubble. I'm just doing the math here. Okay, so we see this then. So are you in a rush to break up with somebody? It's like people who are like speeding to get around somebody so you get to the red light. I got to get to that red light the fastest. And then stop. And the guy I just passed, I'll wave at him. You know, I got to beat you to this red light. And the worst is It's like when you get to the red light and then he gets to the red light, as soon as it goes green and he passes you going like normal speed, never mind. Some of you guys don't drive in his place. So we go too far too fast and we speed things up and we go, if you value your purity, if you value your integrity, if you value your heart not being given away and thrown on the ground and stomped on by some jerk woman who is a jerk and she's a woman and she's a jerk woman, if you value that, then you will guard and protect your heart and you will not rush into these things. Because if many of us in this room are going to wait for the next 6 to 8 years, take time. Get to know people. Don't rush into things. Because logically speaking, if we can, it would make sense to not give yourself away and to flush your life into a place where you get depressed or you get burnt or you get... And look, here's the thing, is if you have already done this, pick up the pieces and get it back together, because being single is good. Getting your friends, getting your situation situated is good, because maybe you've been in that place where you've hated somebody like return, or you've had somebody hate on you. Well, then take your time, let God heal you, and let's get back into this, because I'm well aware in this room that not all of us do everything right. Look, you know, if I could be real honest, in my life, you know, when my wife and I got married, I didn't do things the right way, but my wife did. But I was smart enough to know that when my relationship ended with my past girlfriend, I was single. I was a single man. I was off the market. It wasn't like I was all weird and jacked up looking or anything like that either, you know? I don't think I was. But I had to get myself right with God. I had to get myself solid so that when that one day, when that woman came along, when my queen came, she would have a king who knows how to treat her right. And then that day came. I think I do pretty good. I was doing the dishes the other day. I mean, I was taking care of business. Anyway, so it's Song of Solomon 2:7 says this. Song of Solomon 2:7 says it. It says it three times in this portion of the Bible. It says three times. It says, I charge you, O daughters, or you could say, O sons of Jerusalem, whatever, by the gazelles and by the does of the field. Don't know what that means, but it must be important. It says, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. If you do this too quick, you're going to get yourself all jacked up, and the does and the gazelles will not be there.
And you want the does. And them gazelles, you want them to be there.
The truth is this, man. Don't stir up or awaken love until it's the right time. So I know we're in high school in this place, but look, if you go too far, too fast, you're going to jack yourself up. It's like cooking a steak for 30 seconds. It could be brown on the outside, but it's pink on the inside and will give you a stomach ache. You can't rush good food. You can't rush romance. Here's another one. Is we hate the people we love with unrealistic expectations. We pile them on. We require them to fulfill us, and they will never, ever do that. Only Christ can. We go too far. We go too fast. And all of a sudden, there's this huge collision between hearts that happens, and our life is thrown about. What happens is this, is we hate people when we lie to them. Every relationship is based off of trust. I mean, that's what faith is. Faith is trust in God. Your relationship with God is based off of your faith, your trust in who God says he is. And same thing with relationships, whether it's you and your mom, whether it's you and your friends, whether it's you and your girl, whether you and your boy, it's based off of that. And the problem is we fool ourselves into lying to these people that we love. Sometimes we lie to people to protect them. We say, well, if they know, it'll just hurt them. I remember one time I was talking to a friend a couple years ago, and he said he had cheated on his girlfriend. He had cheated on his girlfriend, and I remember sitting at a coffee shop with him, and I remember looking at him, and he was telling me this whole story, and it just went out, and I was like, oh, my Lord. And I was like, so what are you going to do? Have you told her yet? And he's like, well, no, I'm not going to tell her. I'm like, what do you mean you're not going to tell her? He's like, well, if I'm not going to do it again, so if I keep it to myself, then she'll never know. That way I don't have to hurt her. I thought, if I could smack a person, I would. But I couldn't because it was in public. So within himself, he had convinced himself that he was doing good by lying to his girlfriend. And he said he loved her, but is that what love looks like? Yeah, I don't know. But inside of himself, he had tricked himself into thinking this. And then all of a sudden, we lie because we want to get something. Look, if you were sneaking around in a relationship behind your parents' back, you're lying to get what you want. And any relationship based off of a lie is bound to fail. Any relationship based off of a lie is bound to fail. Because as soon as the truth comes out, and it will. And look, I've been doing youth ministry. I've been doing youth ministry for the past 13 years. And I know this, is you cannot lie. Stop lying. Every time I lied as a teenager, my parents found out. When I see teenagers lie to their parents, they find out. Especially if your parents are Christians. Oh, Lordy, Lord. It happened. Look, as soon as the truth comes out, everything that you've lied about from there, the relationship falls apart. And if there's any way of building that relationship back, it has to be started all over from scratch, because everything else was based on a lie. I'm going to tell you this, you cannot base a relationship off of lie, because a lie will never get you what you want. A lie will never get you what you want. A lie will never get you what you want. It will not protect you, and it will not protect them. In 1 Corinthians 4, Jesus says that every hidden thing will come to light. So do you think it'll hurt more if you tell them the truth, or do you think it'll hurt more 6 months down the line when the truth comes out and they find out you've been lying about it the whole time? Fess up to your parents. Fess up to your relationship. Fess up to whoever you need to. Because I'll tell you this, the longer you wait, the worse it gets. And this last one is like one of those. I say this one for the last because it's what everybody expects. Can I get my ladder out here real quick? See, we hate people when we put undue burdens on them, when we have unrealistic expectations. We hate people when we require them to fulfill our life. We hate people when we go too far, when we go too fast. We hate people when we lie to them. And we hate the ones we love when we keep God on the outside of our life. When you push God to the outside, it just doesn't work. Thank you. This is a big ladder. Thank you, Jeremiah. Isn't Jeremiah so strong? He just installed his own garage door opener the other day. Was it this morning or was it yesterday?
Both.
Good answer. That's how much of a man he is. It takes, he makes it whenever he wants it. Thank you, Jeremiah. Okay. Wow. You guys really taped that thing. Cool. Okay. I'm not afraid of bad luck, so I don't care. So you hate people, and this is funny, because you hate the people that you love when you keep God on the outside of your relationship. See, when you push God on the outside, then God can't help you. See, God's a gentleman. He'll be a part of your life as much and as deep and as far as you want him to be. God's willing to give you the consequences of what you want. He does. He'll give that to you. If you ask for it, he'll give it to you. Now, I'm gonna go through this quick. I'm going to wrap this up because I think it's really simple. But when you push God on the outside, this is exactly what happens. You see, remember last week, couple weeks we were talking about is when you get in a relationship, it's all of you. You're not just peace, not just this, not just a part. You know, it's just everything of you. So let's say there's a relationship. Brad, Ariel, come on up here real quick. Brad, will you please take this side? Ariel, will you please take this side here? Okay. Now, let's say there's a relationship here. We have two people. I don't know if they know each other or not. I don't know. I just kind of picked them out at random. Probably not. But let's say this. Now, there's a relationship. Now, Brad has a destiny. He has a purpose. He has a calling. Just like everybody in this room, it's all someplace we're going. And if you're in here, I figure you're probably trying to get closer to God and what he has for you. So up there, it's not SpongeBob is not God. I know that, okay? But I don't have the budget nor the time or the want for idolatry to make an idol of God. So that ball is God and all of his purposes for Brad. But it also is the same thing for Ariel. So here these two people are, and as they go get closer to God, as they desire to go in their life for God, they would be climbing up the ladder. Brad, will you please climb up the ladder? Up, another step. Now, I know this is kind of weird, but go ahead and take a step on the ladder. Okay, that's enough, because that's OSHA rules right there. All right, so as you'll notice, if two people are trying their best to get closer to God, as they go up the ladder, you will notice that they get closer together. See, I knew this was easy to understand, man. As people get closer to God, they get closer together, step by step by step. Now, get down. All right, you two, get down. There you go, thank you. All right, she's way up there, man. So now let's say this. Let's say Brad and Ariel didn't really care. This is their relationship right here. This ladder is their relationship. God is up at the top. They're here at the bottom. Let's say they instead of getting closer to God, they want to do things their way. They want to go things whatever, blah, blah, blah. So, Brad, would you please, instead of going up the ladder, come towards Ariel? No, stop. No, you got to take the relationship with you. Yeah. For you to, so in order for, okay, so yeah, go, okay, come on. No, stop. I don't trust you guys. Okay, so if Brad was to, instead of going up the ladder, was to try to bring him in, obviously we know it's going to fall, SpongeBob is going to crash, and then it might hurt somebody really badly. See, this is what happens, is you can try to get closer to each other, but what it does is it makes everything really unstable. See, when you don't, this is why marriages fall apart, because they don't do things God's way. They start doing weird things in their marriage relationship because they do it their way instead of God's way. And all of a sudden, it's not based on God, so the relationship gets closer, but the relationship gets narrower and thinner, and it gets, the integrity of the relationship gets smaller and smaller and smaller. Now, what about this? Let's go ahead and, this might be bad luck. Okay, so now let's say Brad here loves Jesus, but Ariel doesn't. Sucks to be you. Okay, so let's say they're in this relationship, and Brad is going up with his relationship with God. He goes up, and he goes up, and he goes up, and Ariel's like, nah. He goes up, and he goes up, and he goes, and he's going on with his purpose and his calling, and he's going, and he's going to reach it. But the problem is this, is what's happening between him and Ariel? Is they're getting farther apart. And I'll tell you this, guys, This is what happens with your walk with God is if you choose to spend your life with somebody that has a different plan, a different purpose, they don't love the Lord like you love the Lord. You know, you guys can love each other deeply, but the closer you get to God, the closer you get to your purpose, this is what happened in my relationship years ago, back when I was in high school. I dated this girl for 3 years, and I loved her with everything I had. But what happened was this, is one of us stopped, and the other one of us had a purpose and a calling on God. Well, we both did, but only one of us was chasing after it. And the closer I got to God, the further I got from her, because we were on this journey together. It just so happened, though, as I kept on getting closer to God, I found somebody who was on my level, going where I was going. And it so happened to stumble upon the woman of my dreams who chose to climb this ladder with me. See, you can come on down. Thank you. Let's give her Brad and Ariel here. Yay! That's all I need. Thank you. Thank you for being a heathen. All right. You see, this is the way relationships work. Is you can try to get closer to each other your way, and it's a matter of time to see how much you can juggle it until it finally falls. Or you can do it God's way. You can chase after God as fast and as hard and as determined as you can, and you'll find that as you guys pursue God together, you'll get closer and closer together. See, that's the way relationships are designed to work. That's the way God intended it. The last verse, shut it down here. We talked about this, I think it was last Sunday. Psalm 127, verse 1, and then I'm done. And Psalm 127, verse 1, the Bible says this. It says right here, give it to me. Right? Psalm 127, verse 1, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, the builders who build it build in vain. It says that you can build a house as high, as strong, as deep,
and as filled with love as you can. But unless God's a part of the building plans, it's not going to stand. That's the same thing with your relationships too, guys. God's got to be a part of it all. And if he isn't, then what you think is love might turn out to hurt instead of help. So do it God's way, and you won't be sorry. If you guys got anything, God did, let's give him a praise. Woo! Man.